You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
We've got to quit acting like we can only serve God when things make sense, and we can only serve God when it's comfortable, and we can only serve God when it's predictable, and we can only serve God when it's controllable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're going to have to learn how to walk in the darkness and see through the voice of the shepherd, or you're not going to make it in this day and hour in which we live. God does us a favor, and we think it's punishment, but it's teaching us how to survive.
We can start to believe we need the perfect conditions to serve God, that everything has to be steady, peaceful, and figured out first. So when life feels like a dark valley, we hesitate, thinking this can't be the time. Pastor Gary will tell you today that God does some of his deepest work right in the valley. He isn't waiting for things to improve before using you, and neither should you. Even in the middle of uncertainty, you can serve, trust, and take your next step, knowing he's still working through you. Now, here's Pastor Gary in the book of Isaiah chapter 50 as he continues his message, Learning to See in the Dark.
The only people that get righteousness, that are filled up with righteousness, are those who seek the kingdom of God. And if you're not seeking because your eyes are enjoying what you're being led to, and you're not going to the Word, and you're not going to His voice because you're happy the way things are, sometimes God allows darkness to come into your life to eliminate the visual, optical distractions so that you're no longer looking for fulfillment in where your eyes and your logic are leading you, but now you're having to go to the only place where you can find a real answer, and that's the voice of God through the Word of God. I want to thank God that he dwells in thick darkness. Can I get an amen? I want to thank God for the trials and tribulations. I didn't know that it would be a blessing to me. I thought it was a burden. I was asking God to turn the light back on. I was asking God to fix it for me. But little did I know that he's created a hunger and a thirst in me and an appetite in me, an insatiable appetite. I can't get enough of them anymore. And I went through a fast recently, and at the end of the fast, Brother Lesser, I was disappointed because the search was not as intense as it was. And I thought, I don't want to stop fasting. I'm in joy in the presence of God too much in this place. Amen. I tell you what, if you ever get a hold of him, you'll be satisfied and you don't want to look for help anywhere else. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Besides him, there's no other. Y'all remember that song? Jesus is the way. I don't know the rest of the words, but I really like that one. Amen. Jesus is truly the answer. You say it's too simple. Nope. But what about this? Look to Jesus. But what about that? Look to Jesus. But he don't say enough. All he says. Question is, are you listening? I had a former employer that loved to repeat his instructions excessively. One day I had to politely and respectfully ask my employer to stop repeating his instructions, and I informed him, Brother Lester, that I heard him the first time. Now, normally you don't talk to your employer like that, but I needed to let him know that I'm on the task. Amen. How many of you like for someone to religiously and repetitively, back-to-back, over and over, drill one point into your brain when you heard it the first time? Anybody enjoy that? Then why do you think God has to repeat himself over and over and over to you for you to believe him? What he said, he said. Now, will he sometimes give us the reassurance that we need because he loves us and he cares for us? Yeah, he will. But just because I don't hear his fresh voice today, Brother Lester, don't mean that what he said don't apply. I have to trust that what he said is always true. God don't have to stutter to be true. God don't have to repeat himself to be true. I can go to his word. He can speak. today, if I'm raptured in his presence and it's a divine revelation and I'm blessed by that truth, and then tomorrow all hell breaks loose and I lose everything that I've got, what God said today in the light is going to be more true tomorrow in the dark, whether I feel his presence or not. So to learn to live and see in the dark is to learn to listen to his voice despite the optics. You remember the text? I may have skipped it. I'll get to it. Let me just stick with my outline. Amen. So Saul, God took his advantage of sight away from him, which really was a disadvantage at the time because he was living by sight, not by faith. So when our logic runs out, faith must take over. The silence of sight is not abandonment, it is training. Yes. Yes. Logic may be our sight, but faith is our hearing, which is most important. Because what you hear God saying is very much true in every respect, even if it don't make logical sense to us. Amen. Now, let's talk secondly about the strength of sound. Faith hears what logic cannot see. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, not seeing. You know why it's important that we not live by sight? Because the devil is a master illusionist. He knows how to make it look good when it's not. So you got to receive instruction from the Father that will be applicable to any sort of situation so that you're not deceived by your sight. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So faith is hearing, and hearing is stronger than sight when you're in the dark. Amen. Did you know that the Navy SEALs in night ops trust voice commands, not optics? In fact, they're trained how to navigate in the dark before they're ever given that fancy equipment like night vision goggles. Because they are trained to not panic in the disadvantage of the cover of night. They are trained in such a way as to assume that nighttime warfare is the norm, not the exception. By the way, did you know that as a Christian, nighttime warfare is the norm, not the exception? And we've got to quit acting like we can only serve God when things make sense. And we can only serve God when it's comfortable. And we can only serve God when it's predictable. And we can only serve God when it's controllable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're going to have to learn how to walk in the darkness and see through the voice of the shepherd, or you're not going to make it in this day and hour in which we live. God does us a favor, and we think it's punishment, but it's teaching us how to survive. It's removing our dependency upon our perceptions and putting our leaning and our staying on him and not ourselves. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me." Can I use a couple of real lifetime illustrations on how this has practically worked out in my life up to this point? Only to brag on Jesus, because I have experience, and I can tell you from experience that every word he ever said to me is true. I don't have to have my experience to prove that it's true, but I can testify that it is. The legitimacy of God's word is not dependent upon my personal experiences or perceptions thereof, but I am glad to tell you that I have put it to the test, and it does work. Like when I had to move to Georgia from Mississippi, didn't have no money. Took a big pay cut by faith, trusting God. Not always being easy. That's not a complaint. It's a fact. But I had to shut my eyes to the optics and listen for the voice of the shepherd to make an accurate decision. And I pray, Lord, if this is of you, then I pray that my family will make the decision with me in their heart. And I can take you almost to the motel room that I was sleeping in the Saturday night before I came and preached my first sermon here, as they call it, the trial sermon. And my wife called me on a conference call with all my sons on the phone with her and said, "Daddy, we wanted to let you know that we have prayed and talked, and as a family, we think that if the church extends the call for you to pastor, that you need to take it." You talk about a confirmation, Brother Lester. They knew what it could conceivably cost us. They knew the challenges that would persist. They knew that it would not be an easy road, but they also heard from God. If I had listened to the optics, I'd have stayed in Mississippi. If I had listened to the optics, I wouldn't have a precious little granddaughter right now, amen, called Melody. If I listened to the optics, I wouldn't be here with you. If I listened to the optics, all the dozens that have been saved since we've been here, because God has blessed our efforts collectively, not me personally, but collectively, the unity of the body, and we work together to accomplish the will of God. If I listened to the optics, nothing would have looked the same or been the same. But would you look at what God's doing and quit looking? Hey, I'm still walking through some dark times. I'm still listening for the voices here, because not everything still makes perfect sense to me, but I'm glad that I'm leaning less on what I understand and leaning more on what he said, because in the end, God makes it all work out. And that's how you got to do it. You got to just say, well, bless God, I heard his voice. And that's all that matters. And now for some, that's not enough. They got to not only hear his voice, but it's all got to make logical sense. And we got to figure it out on a calculator. And we got to put out a spreadsheet. We got to be able to plan it 3 years in advance. And we got to do this and we got to do that. What if God rips all that rug out from under you and all you have is a word and that's it? And you have to walk it out by faith for years before you even see the benefit of it. Can you still walk in the last navigation the Holy Ghost gave you until he says, now turn? Learning to see in the dark has more to do with listening to and obeying his voice than it does anything that makes logical sense to us. That's why I'm so stubborn about what I know I heard God say. Because I have learned that when I misstep and I don't do what he says, I get in trouble with God and I cause a lot of grief. Y'all think it's bad obeying God. Try not obeying him. I'd rather fight hell by the acre with God on my side than to play games and enjoy the luxuries and pleasures of sin for a season, but be in trouble with God. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Doesn't that sound like something Moses did? Something we should do? I'm talking about learning how to see in the dark. And when the devil comes in, the enemy comes in like a flood, and the whispers and the backbiting and the divisions and the rumors and the criticisms and the attacks and the nastiness and the vileness of this world, and sometimes even those that were supposed to be praying for us, supposed to be loving us, supposed to be supporting us, but now they've turned their back on us, now they're running their mouth about us, now they're trying to destroy our ministry. I can either listen to all those optics and say, you know what, I'm just going to throw in the towel, or I can shut all that out, ask God to blind my eyes, everything but his voice, and just keep right on being happy in Jesus and doing what God called me to do. Amen. And we all got to get there. The strength of sound is that it eliminates the distraction of the vision. In creation, here's the verse, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But aren't you glad that he didn't stop right there? What happens next? Well, the Spirit of God is moving on the face of the waters because he dwells in thick darkness. Now, why would the Spirit of God dwell in thick darkness? Well, it's so that he can bring the light. So that he can bring the word. The Holy Spirit is to the word of God like conduit is to electricity. It delivers it. The Spirit of God set the stage. God the Son created it. God the Holy Spirit hovered over it. God the Father spoke. And when God spoke, the word went. And he said, let there be light. And boom, all the darkness dissipated. Because the Holy Spirit was present and delivering the word of his power. Not just the power of his word. The word of his power. It's not just words, it's demonstration and power. It's not just a form of godliness that he wants us to have. He doesn't want us to walk around religious but have no power of God to transform lives, to navigate through the darkness, but he wants to manifest himself in such a way that people look at your life and say, the only way you can explain that is God, because man cannot do that. And so darkness is not your disadvantage, it's your advantage when you learn to walk by faith and not by sight. The enemy can't even operate in the dark. He has no light. All he can do is distract, discourage, confuse, destroy. He's blundering around in the dark. But he also knows how to get others to distract them so that they can follow him. And when the blind lead the blind, they do both fall in the ditch. The devil's going to fall in the ditch, and everybody wants to go with him. They can go with him too if they want to. And you know what God prepared for the devil and his angels, don't you? hell for all of eternity. That's ultimately where people end up that ignore the voice of the shepherd and just go their own way. That's why we call ourselves Christians, because we want to follow Jesus. Amen. Now, logic needs visibility, but faith only needs a voice. When God speaks, hearing beats seeing every single time. Point number three. Let's talk about the shelter of the sovereignty of God. God dwells where logic cannot go. And 1 Kings 8:12 is your verse. I've been quoting it. The Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. And what I love about Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21, it said, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. Here's the natural mind. Okay, God's voice is calling me, but where he's calling me into looks very thick and dark and scary. The unknown, I can't see what's going on in that thick darkness. I don't know if I want to. In fact, in the text, the only one that was willing to go was Moses. Because Moses was willing to walk into the unknown to discover the I am, God gave him a revelation that changed the course of history for all of humanity. Because he was willing to follow the voice, even if it led him into thick darkness. Even if he lost his natural ability to see and perceive and understand and comprehend what was really going on. Even if all he was left with was a stone tablet with the declared words of God on it. I don't know anything else, but I know that God said, thou shalt not, fill in the blank. I don't know anything else, but I know he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, with all that strength. I may not know much anything else logically. I may not know much anything else philosophically. I may not know much of anything else educationally. But I do know that if I am going to walk in a pathway of peace and harmony, I'm going to have to drown everything else and may it all bow to the revealed word of God. Because if God gives us instructions for the soul, that is fundamentally and foundationally what you need more than anything else. And everything else will work itself out. Or it won't, either way. But when God is true, everybody else is a liar.
That's right.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to the church? We have got to quit listening to this world. We have got to quit listening to our logic. We've got to quit listening to self-gratification. We've got to quit listening to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We've got to quit listening to culture. We've got to quit listening to the political talking heads and get back to the book, get back to the book. We've got to quit listening to denominational persuasions and doctrines of devils and doctrines of men and start listening to the voice of the great shepherd. And I promise you, if you'll get back to the book, amen, God will turn the lights on. Darkness is where logic panics, but faith presses in. God dwells in the darkness not to terrify, but to train us to trust his word. You remember the old national anthem? The rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Every once in a while, Amy, it gets so dark in ministry and serving God that I just had to go back to the Lord and say, now, Lord, hadn't seen you in a while, hadn't heard from you in a while. Can you just give me a little token that I'm still on the right path? I just want to make sure I didn't miss a turn. I just want to make sure I didn't miss the voice of God. And all of a sudden, the warfare will light up the sky with the light of his word, and I'll see that blood-stained banner still flying and God still very much in control. And I said, thank you, Lord. That's all I need. Let's get back to battle. Aren't you glad for the flashes of light that he gives as confirmation when you need him, when you're in the midst and the thickness of it, and you're not sure if you're winning or losing. Every once in a while, the bombs bursting in air, the revelation of God's word. Maybe it's a Sunday morning sermon every once in a while just hit you just right and say, woo, that's all I needed. I think I can go another few weeks. Amen. And sometimes God just strategically and intentionally places his bursts of light in such ways that it keeps you on the right path. And it's not what you see, it's what you hear. That's what you got to get. Amen. So when logic says it's over, faith says God's right here and he's winning. I'm going to bring it to a close now. In our opening text in verse 11, though, it says, All you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Notice it said sparks. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there any mention? Let's see. Let me read it again. All you that kindle a fire. All right, they're trying to kindle a fire, but to compass about with sparks. You know what I see there? I see somebody trying to start a fire with a flint rock or something. Sparks are flying. Amen. The compass about with spark. I mean, they're setting that flintstone on fire. Whatever you call that thing. Is it a flintstone? Am I calling it right? Whole lot of sparks. No real source of light. Trying their best in human effort to create artificial light. The Bible ain't enough. It don't give me enough answers. I'm still confused. I'm still wondering. I can't find satisfaction. So go ahead and create your sparks. Go ahead. God's going to let you do that. If you want to create your own sparks, go right on ahead. But I'm going to tell you, it's not enough light. Because what you don't know is what you can't see. And you can't see a lot right now. But there's one called the Holy Spirit who has built in night goggles. And he can see at all times what you cannot see. And he's not going to give you all the answers at once. He's going to give it to you layer by layer, reception upon reception. If you receive his revelation today, even as small as it may seem, it may just seem like a spark to you. Take it. He'll give you more. So one step at a time, he'll give you light. Amen. Light into my path, that's directional. That means he's got a destination in mind. If you'll just follow him one step at a time, he'll walk you right out of your dungeon of darkness into a place of peace and understanding in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your head, your heart. Your head's going to talk you right out of trusting God, but your heart's going to have to say, you know what, I don't understand it, but I hear him saying I'm going to be all right. I don't understand it. I don't see it logically, but I just hear him saying that if I'll just trust him, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be okay, and I don't know what tomorrow holds, and I don't even know. I might die a martyr's death, but I'd rather die a martyr's death in the will of God, amen, than to live in pleasure and die out of God's will. If I just decide to trust him, it don't make no sense to my logical brain, and I can't talk my friends into buying into my spiritual vision, but I just hear God say, keep pressing on. I hear God say, keep trusting me, keep loving me, don't abandon me, don't abandon that book, don't reject your upbringing, don't reject the word of God. If you'll just continue to lean upon, stay, make God your stay, amen. That word stay means to lean upon like a staff, amen. The word of God, I'm leaning on that staff. When you're weak, you have to go to leaning sometimes. And I'll be honest, we have been doing a lot of leaning lately, Brother Lester. But guess what's holding me up? Word of God. Job said, though he's slaying me, if this thing kills me, I'm going to die trusting him. If I had to breathe my last breath hoping for something I never lived to see, I want to breathe my last breath in full assurance of faith. Because if I can die in faith, that faith can be passed on to the next generation. Don't give up because you can't see it right now. You don't have to see it, but you do need to hear it. And you do need to trust it. Hallelujah. Here's what happens, though, when we compass ourselves with our own sparks. This shall you have of mine hand, God says. You shall die. You'll lie down in sorrow. You're going to be disappointed. You may try for a while, but just trust his voice. He just knows more than we do. It may seem to go against everything in you. But I promise you, the shepherd is a good shepherd. And the enemy is a bad wolf. And you don't want to follow a wolf that leads you against the voice of the shepherd. So it's better to trust the unseen God than to follow the sparks of human reason. Better to walk in the dark with his voice than in the light of your own logic, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
You've been listening to True North with Pastor Gary Caudill. If you enjoyed today's message,
we invite you to subscribe to True North on your favorite podcast app. Be sure to share these messages with your friends and family, too. This could be a great way to start a conversation about Christ and study the Word together. If you have any questions about what you heard today or would like to send a prayer request, please get in touch with Pastor Gary by emailing contact@garycaudill.com. That's contact@garycaudill.com. True North is a part of the ministry of Gary Caudill. You can find out more by visiting our website, garycaudill.com. Would you like to come to worship with Pastor Gary? Simply visit garycaudill.com for additional details on where he teaches and how you can plan a visit. If you're not in the area, we still encourage you to find a local church body where you can learn from God's Word and spend time with other believers. It can be a place for you to grow in your faith, find support, and serve in ways uniquely designed just for you. With that, our time with you has come to an end. But please, join Pastor Gary for another edition here on True North.